Let's take the scriptures now. We'll turn in them for our serial reading to John chapter 20. John in chapter 20. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 31. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 31. And starting in verse 1 of chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, these are the inerrant, infallible words of the living and true God. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came, following him, and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see with my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And those are God's words. So we remember last Lord's Day, we heard in chapter 19 of the death and burial of Jesus Christ, that the author, the Apostle John, who's talked about here, the one who Jesus loved, he was standing as a witness to this death, to his death, Christ's death, and then others standing witness, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, to his burial, and also some of the women, I believe, from the other Gospels. But no longer now is Jesus dead. Jesus is now alive. And what a great testimony Mary Magdalene, who witnessed the death of Christ, comes. She comes early the first day of the week, which is the Lord's Day today, 2,000 years ago. And the stone was no longer covering the tomb. And so immediately she goes and notifies Peter and the Apostle John. And John and Peter come, and they find that the tomb was empty. Christ was not in there. He had risen. Two angels then appeared to Mary Magdalene, who at the time believed that the Romans had taken Christ's body away. And she turned, she saw and was the first witness of the resurrected Jesus. And he spoke to her, at which point she realizes it was Jesus. And so while John and Peter were the first to witness the empty tomb, Mary Magdalene was the first to witness the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, and she went forth boldly proclaiming that Jesus had risen. At that time, the disciples were still afraid of the Jews, especially now that, quote unquote, Jesus' body has been stolen. They would have come to Christ's disciples and tried to put them to death and accuse them of stealing the body of Jesus, but he has risen. And in that group of disciples hiding in the home, Jesus appeared to them, except for Thomas, and made them witness of his hands and side that were pierced, and then commanded them to receive the Holy Spirit. And we have the account of Thomas who doubts. The disciples testify the risen Jesus Christ, and he doubted. Unless I touch him. He sounds maybe like the atheist or the agnostic today. Unless I touch him and see and feel his hands inside, I will not believe. And then 8 days passed. We studied, remember, in the fourth commandment when we were in Exodus, that the eighth day would have been again the first day of the week. Every time the resurrection, after the resurrection Christ appeared, we see that he appears on the first day of the week, which is amazing to us and reminds us of the importance of Lord's Day worship. And this time, Thomas is there, and he calls Thomas to come and touch him to prove that he was Jesus Christ, and he, as Jesus Christ, had risen. Then Thomas believed, after touching. And the question for you today, just as Jesus challenged Thomas and the others, the question for you today is, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead in accordance with the Scriptures? That is the purpose of John's Gospel, that you would believe, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. If you do believe, then you have died to your sins in Jesus Christ, in union with Him, and have been raised together with Him. And in that we can rejoice and take great comfort. But apart from believing, you do not have that comfort or that joy. And so you are called by Christ to believe that He has risen from the dead. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are praising You because our Savior and Lord and King is alive. Even now in glory, sitting at Your right hand upon the throne, exalted as our mediatorial King. He is the risen King. And He, that one divine person, still, forever, retains that one divine nature and one human nature. And so still, the piercings in his hands where the nails were, and still his side open where the blood and water poured forth. And we will be able to witness that in glory ourselves one day. But now we must believe by faith. And we do because you've taught us these things from your word, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is perfect as it is your word, equipping us for every good work. And it is of your Holy Spirit, even in this gospel, as John was carried along by the Spirit to write these things for us, of whom he was a witness, a direct witness of these things, which if we were to compare to historical books, other historical books outside of the Scriptures, first-hand accounts are unheard of. And books are normally written hundreds of years after these things take place, but not your word, and not the Gospels, which were written not many years after these things happened. And so far as we trust historical books today, we can trust your word so much more just in earthly thinking. But then on top of that, we can add to it that it is your word. It is God-breathed. And therefore, we can trust it fully because you are the God who is faithful and perfect in every way. And you are, there is nothing that you say that is not or will not come true. And therefore, your word is yes and amen. Always. It is always true for you, the God of truth. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through you in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we ask that if there are any here, even of our children, who do not know you, who have turned from you and are dwelling in their sins, that they would confess their sins and repent of them, turning from them unto you in Jesus Christ alone, believing that Jesus died for their sins, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day. That is the first day of the week. This day, the Lord's Day that we celebrate in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would, as we've heard already today, that you would give us joy in the Holy Spirit. That you would cause us to confess our sins and turn from them unto you alone. That we would not turn to our neighbor first, but to you alone first. Because you are the God we have sinned against. And if we have sinned against anyone, we have sinned against you all the more. For you are the God who created us. You're the God who sustains us, even by your Holy Spirit. And we have sinned and committed blasphemy as we have grieved the Spirit in our sin. Father, we also pray this day that you would be with Pastor Yeldon's wife, Sue, and her back, that you would heal her. You'd be with also my wife and her struggles today. Father, heal their bodies. Also pray for Jeannie and her knee, that she'd be able to have her surgery soon. And any others who may be struggling in their bodies. Father, we do thank you for your word today. Pray that you would be with us as we sing your word, as we hear your word read and preached again from Psalm 100 in a few moments. You would bless your people in the hearing of one another singing the word to each other, proclaiming the word to one another through our singing. And in that way, we are doing what is in 1 Corinthians, prophesying to one another. And yet, Father, we also pray for our hearing of the word and the preaching of your word. that you would do your great work and cause us in all things to receive it with faith, hope, and love, with joy, with submission unto you, and with praises in response with thanksgiving. May your name be glorified and praised, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.